On Singing by Nadia Boltz-Weber. One of my non-negotiables going into starting a church was that congregational singing be the primary musical expression of the gathered people of God. Not a band, not an organ, not a singer-songwriter strumming guitar chords, not the congregation itself. Singing together means breathing together. It means creating harmonies that cannot exist when we sing alone. It builds community and sustains us in a way that nothing else can. The liturgy booklets at House for All Sinners and Saints include the actual music. I know, very old-fashioned of us. I think churches musically infantilize people when we assume that because they can't read music, that they can only manage lyrics projected on a screen. I myself cannot read music, but I can figure out when the note goes up. When the note goes up, I sing up, and when it goes down, I sing down. And that note with dots at the end are a little longer. That's about all I or anyone else needs to know. And when faced with an unfamiliar piece of music, I have a great deal more chance to participate in singing it if I see the music than if you only give me the lyrics. It has taken us a while to become the singing congregation we are. We have a cantor who leads the choral guild, a group of people, whoever wants to show up, who come 40 minutes early every Sunday to learn the harmonies so they can sit among the congregation and help support the singing. Churches can learn to sing together. I implore you to not leave music to the professionals, because it belongs to all of us. Singing together is a human birthright, not just something the congregation is invited to do if they feel like it while listening to real musicians make all the music for them. Are you ready?
My favorite song is Holy Use Praise the Lord, because I like standing up and sitting down.
So just in case this is not familiar to you from years of Sunday school or summer camp, we'll sing it through once, sitting quietly in our seats. That's Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Praise Ye the Lord.
Hallelujah, 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 Praise Ye the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 Praise Ye the Lord. Praise Ye the Lord, Hallelujah, Praise Ye the Lord, Hallelujah, Praise Ye the Lord, Hallelujah, Praise Ye the Lord.
And now we'll sing it the way it was written to be. Stand on the Hallelujah, sit on Praise Ye the Lord. Or if it works better with your hips and knees, raise your arms and stand in your body spirit when you're singing Hallelujah. And come back down when you're singing Praise Ye the Lord. And watch for the tricky transition in the middle. So we'll start with this Hallelujah standing on this side, and then we'll sing it twice so this side gets their chance too.
Hallelujah.
That was really fun. Thank you, Magdalena, for reminding us of that. I'm reading Music Lesson, a poem by Mary Oliver that she wrote in 1978. Sometimes in the middle of the lesson, we exchange places. She would gaze a moment at her hand spread over the keys, then the small house with its knickknacks, its shut windows, its photographs of her sons and the serious husband. These vanished as new shapes formed. Sound became music, and music a white scarp for the listener to climb alone. I leaped rock over rock to the top and found myself waiting, transformed. And still she played, her eyes luminous and willful, her pinned hair falling down. Forgetting me, the house, the neat green yard. She fled in that lick of flame all tedious bonds, supper, the duties of flesh and home, the knife at the throat, the death in the metronome.
Much is broken in our world and in ourselves today. Join me in this time of prayer for confession, written by Jan Richardson. God of compassion, we acknowledge the times we have lived too long with the words that others have put into our mouths, with the pain they have written onto our bodies, with the terror they have burned into our hearts, with the shame they have inscribed onto our souls. We know the times we have clung to sackcloth not of our making, when we have lived clothed in weariness, cloaked with anger, and enshrouded by sorrow. We grieve the occasions when we have lived with alienation rather than association, when we have sought isolation rather than consolation, when our words within have shut others out. We confess our fear of the dark and our uncertainty of the light. Yet you have placed within us, God, a longing for survival, a hunger for your wholeness, a yearning for your comfort, and a hope for all our healing. Bless our mouths to name our wounds, that we might not fear them, our bodies that we might cherish them, our hearts that we may delight in their longings, and our souls that we may trust the wisdom of the stories they hold. Grant us the courage to be touched by you, that when our days of weeping are done, we may wear your garments of gladness, see one another in the light of your love, and stand together in the power of your resurrection. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen.
I'm reading a music by Wendell Berry. I employ the blind mandolin player in the tunnel of the metro. I pay him a coin as hard as his notes, and maybe he has employed me and pays me with his playing to hear him play. Maybe we're necessary to each other, and this place has need of us both. It's vacant, I mean of dwellers, is populated by passages and absences. By some fate or knack, he has chosen to place his music in this cavity where there's nothing to look at and blindness costs him nothing. Nothing was here before he came. His music goes out among the sounds of footsteps passing. The tunnel is the resonance and meaning of what he plays. It's his music, not the place I go by. In this light, which is just a fact, like darkness or the edge or end of what you may be going toward, he turns his cap up on his knees and leaves it there to ask and wait and holds up his mandolin, the lantern of his world. His fingers make their pattern on the wires. This is not the pursuing of rhythm of a blind cane pecking in the sun, but is a singing in a dark place.
In your purple books, number 50, Come Bring Your Burdens to God, this African song we'll sing through a few times. If you're here, the call line on the top, you're welcome to sing that too. Let's also sing this together.
As we sing number 52 and sing the story, Whatsoever You Do, we will be bringing our offerings forward. And consider what all you are grateful for and offering to God, to this community, and to the broader world. On this, the first Sunday of the month, we have two baskets for the offerings, one for our regular offerings, this one, and the other for our 2% offerings. 2% of our income, which is dispersed to impoverished people locally and in the two-thirds world. We do this as an act of restitution for the injustices in economic distribution. May our offerings reflect the generosity and the justice that God wills in our lives. And there's also this large basket for your drawings if they're already completed.
You're welcome to stand if you would like, or civil will sing this. This song has many stanzas. This morning, especially mindful of the homeless and refugees and immigrants around the world, particularly in this country, those whose lives recently been harmed by the recent Supreme Court ruling. Mindful of that, I'd like to sing stanza 2, When I Was Homeless, You Opened Your Door. Number 3, When I Was Weary, You Helped Me Find Rest. Number 6, In a Strange Country, You Made Me a Home. And then we'll end with the last stanza. When I was laughed at, you stood by my side. When I was happy, you shared in my joy. So again, we'll start with When I Was Homeless, and then sing When I Was Weary, and In a Strange Country, number 6, and then the last stanza.
Whatsoever you do to the least of my Thank you.
Join me in committing these offerings of our whole selves to the work of God. Great and loving God, you have given us your first and your best. We wish to follow in your way, and we know that these gifts are one way to start. Deepen our love, grow in us grace and generosity so that these gifts become more of our first and more of our best. Make us also good stewards of the rest we have kept for ourselves. Some of this money we are giving today will go to the needs of the window, and some will go to support the work of our conferences, Indiana, Michigan, and Central District. Receive these gifts and use them to speed the coming of your reign. Amen. It is children's time with Jim Kaufman. So children 3 and older can come forward. Children ages 2 and younger can go across the hall for childcare room in for little children's time. After our offering, we'll have an offering for the window after children's time, and then all children and teachers can head to summer Sunday school. I would like to note, though, for summer Sunday school, that children are in different age groupings during the summer, and pre-K and K children will be in the childcare room today, which is a different arrangement than usual.
We have a small group this morning. I was hoping there was going to be kids all the way around here, but this will work just right. I'm going to tell you a story. And the story has taken me about 69 years to make. But I won't take that long to tell it to you. So, I like to whistle. Sometimes when I'm in a large room like this and nobody's here, I would whistle, and I would whistle something like. Because it would remind me of an opera. That's like a play with all music. Sometimes at work, I would whistle. Oftentimes I work alone at my computer, and I whistle. And sometimes I work in an office, and I whistle, and other people come around and remind me that it bothers them because they don't whistle, but I do. Sometimes I whistle outside. I try to imitate the birds and see if I can get them to come to me. I did that a couple times. Yeah, like a dove, the song of a dove. Or a cardinal. I heard a cardinal. Did you hear it? And sometimes robins have evening songs and morning songs that are different. Sometimes in a store I whistle because Lois and I get separated. And if I whistle a song that she knows and I know, she can usually find me. Lois and I are married, and Lois likes to hum. Sometimes in the morning, she'll be humming a song, and when she comes home from work, she's still humming the same song. I think it was stuck in her head all day. But sometimes when she's working and has a problem or something, she'll find herself humming a song, and she didn't even realize it, and then she thinks about the words, and the words of that song help her. I have a granddaughter who likes to sing when she plays. She goes around, Anara is her name, she goes around, she's about 3, and she likes to sing outside, and she'll sing about her froggy, Augie, and about eating flies and jumping in mud puddles. She just sings all the time. Now, I bring something to church almost every Sunday. Yeah, and some of you have played on it before. Right, but that's enough for now. Now, I have heard music ever since I was, I think before I was born. My mommy sang, and my daddy sang, and my daddy played guitar and violin and harmonica and a mouth harp. You might not know what that is.
Yes,
but
I do.
Okay. But so I heard music all my life and even before I was born. We sang at church. My brothers and sisters all sang. We sang together. And we went to church. We sang at church. Now, how many of you can whistle here? If you can whistle, whistle this note. Okay. How many of you can hum? All of you can hum, I think. And I bet all of you can sing, too. Yeah. If I started to sing a song, if I started to whistle a song, let's see if you would know the words. Right. How many people knew that song? Right. Okay. Now, when I put my hand up, we'll stop. So, let's see. How about this one? No, let me do it again. I'm forgetting the song. Maybe you can help me out. The wheels on the bus go round and round. Okay. Now, hands up. That's all right. Now, we know that song. When was the first time you heard Itsy Bitsy Spider?
When I was 1 year old.
1 year old?
I'm 3 years old.
I don't think any of us can remember the first time. Because it happened so long ago.
I think that was only.
It wasn't a long time
ago for me. Okay. Now, you know those songs. You know those songs. You have them memorized. What we sometimes say is, we know those songs by heart. Have you ever heard of that before? You know something by heart? That's the way you practice a piano until you know the piece by heart. You don't even have to look at the music anymore. We have people out here in this congregation that sing songs and never look at the book because they know it by heart. Now, when I was little, our church and many of the churches around the whole United States bought these little books, and they also had a record that's like a CD, had records like this and these books, and we sang these little songs. Wait, no, it's a little book with songs. There aren't any little songs. And there were songs in here that I knew when I was your age, and they went something like, little red bird in the tree, in the tree, in the tree. Little red bird in the tree, sing a song to me. Or
if you see a red bird, that means someone's watching you from heaven.
And there was another one. God takes care of me every day when I run about and play. And at night time when I sleep, God takes care of me. When night time comes and my prayers are said, I go to sleep in my little white bed, and God takes care of me. And another one. I'm so glad for Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. I'm so glad for Sunday. I like my Sunday school. All these songs are in here, and I have them, and I've learned them by heart. I'll let you play it after church.
Can I play too?
After church.
Me too?
Now, let's see if... How many of you people have been in children in worship already? Good. So you guys know this song. You know it by heart.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God.
One more time, and listen to all the people out there that have it memorized, know it by heart, too.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still.
Sometimes when I'm playing the guitar and practicing for here at church, I almost fall asleep. And in that time between being awake and being asleep, it feels like I could reach out and touch God, or that God could come and touch me. And I think that's one of the things that we do here at church. We sing together to give God a chance to come and touch us.
This is Music by Johan Leve. It must be somewhere, the original harmony, somewhere in great nature, hidden. Is it in the furious infinite and distant stars' orbit? Is it in the sun's scorn, in a tiny flower, in tree gossip, in heart music's mother song, or in tears? It must be somewhere, immortality, somewhere the original harmony must be found. How else could it infuse the human soul? That music.
I'd like for us to sing Breathe On Me, Breath of God. You know, in these days, the breath of God is our source of life, our source of understanding. And particularly in this political season, we recognize that truth is so often evasive and hard to discern and has many forms, and the breath of God is truth. The breath of God is ultimate reality. And this song says that breathe on me, breath of God, for a purpose, for the purpose that I may be like God, that I may take on the attributes of God. In at least three or four places in the scripture, it talks about being imitators of God. And so that's what this song says to us. And so the first verse says, breathe on me, breath of God, that I may, what is it, that I'm, yes, you all know it. And that I may do what thou wouldst do, what I may love what thou wouldst love, and I may do what thou wouldst do. We become imitators of God. And that's I think, is a worthwhile, a worthy prayer for us to, each of us to pray each day. My friend Paul, an Orthodox Christian, he talked a lot about being imitator of God, to take on the attributes of God. An Orthodox call this the process of deification, the process of becoming like God. And so this song, let's think about this as we sing this song. Now, I grew up in Western Ohio, And at West Clinton Mennonite Church, when I grew up, there's a men's chorus. And this was one of the favorite songs. This was one of the songs we sang frequently. And I must say that as a lifelong tenor, I always enjoyed the tenor line, particularly that first score. So I'm going to let the tenor shine on verses 2 and 3. The tenors, while everyone else hums the first two lines, that is the first score, I want the tenors to sing out. Where are the tenors, by the way? How many tenors we got? Oh, yeah, we're in good shape. All five of you, sing loud. All right, well, I think the tenor should stand up when they sing so we can hear them. Now, Michael, if you'll give me an F, we'll sing this song.
A short reading by Anne Lamott. Music is about as physical as it gets. Your essential rhythm is your heartbeat. Your essential sound, the breath. We're walking temples of noise. And when you add tender hearts to this mix, it somehow lets us meet in places we couldn't get to any other way.
Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Heard various voices this morning about music, but there are more stories to be shared from within our own community. What story do you want to offer of how you have experienced and met the Trinity through music? How and when has music intersected with your faith journey, whether during times of joy, challenge, or great sorrow? If your story is about a specific song, please name it, and we will try to sing at least one verse as a response to your sharing and as a prayer.
Good morning, I'm Leon. This has been rich this morning, all the way from Magdalena's Alleluia, Alleluia to Glenn's Breathe on Me, Breath of God, everything in between. And I appreciate it, Jim, you're sharing about Lois humming around the house. That was my mother, always humming around the house. And then I was so pleased to find out that Lynette did it too, and felt very much at home. And so I missed that. The house is kind of quiet now. And I was thinking this morning about our summer theme of finding sacred in the ordinary, and I thought, what's more ordinary than people dying, than death? I mean, every day in the paper, there's more obituaries, and so it's part of our living on this planet. And so there's just been a lot going through my heart this summer. And, you know, I had the accident about 5 weeks ago, and that kind of took over my thoughts and daily routines for a little while. And the recovery's going well. I saw a physical therapist this week, and I'm out of the boot more and feeling like the month of July should be recovery month and back to school. Good to go, I hope. And so that feels good. And I realize that the grief work is the harder ongoing work. And singing and music is so personal. And when I first met Lynette, before we were married, I think we were engaged, we were asked to sing at a friend's wedding. And she had written a song. And we got together to practice, and I didn't particularly like it. And I had another song in mind that we would sing. And I was somehow able to convince her to sing this other song. And I didn't realize at the time what damage I had done about her feelings about her music. And I think partly that's why this congregation never really got to see Lynette's gift of music. She didn't share it openly. But she found life's events, her high school graduation, the birth of our children, our marriage, our dedication of the children, their baptisms, their weddings, as opportunities to write more music, to write poetry and put it to music. And I just wish that would have been more of an open gift that she could have shared with the church. But it was still rich as it was. And so it was good. I think if you were at her funeral, you saw the celebration of music that was Lynette, that she was really touched by God, by music, and able to reach out to God with her music, too, and other people's music as well. So I appreciate your prayers and all your concern for this ongoing journey. It is hard work.
Hello. I'm visiting from Chicagoland area, but music has always connected me to God as well as nature. And I just wanted to share a story about the little boy I care for. He is 4 years old now, and he has quadriplegic cerebral palsy, pretty bad to the point of he needs pretty much help with everything. But neurologically, he's all there. And watching and caring for him since he's been born has truly changed me, and I call him one of my angels. I'm blessed by God to have him in my life. And one of the strongest things that connects us is music. And as any child, he had to learn, you know, receptive language, and music helped him a lot. And it also is one of the things that God has blessed us with, where we can use it throughout our day, and it really helps you just power through your day and gives you energy and refills your Holy Spirit. And one of the most amazing things for him is not only is it an outlet when people are busy and he has physically stuck in his body, but to get him outside of just the simple flesh, but he's also trying to use a kid walk, which is like a wheelchair, and it's a standing one where he's trying to learn to take steps. And we've tried, since he was little, he's done therapy, and we've just tried to put on, you know, any type of walking song or just any type of motivating song. And when he was about 2, we played this song called Go Bananas. And it literally has been playing on repeat ever since. And it gets his body literally taking steps, and he's so excited. And it's basically brought physical life into his walking. And, you know, I just think it's one of the blessings from God, and we've never found another song. You might find songs that gets a step or two, but you put on Go Bananas and something about it is designed specifically for him and his brain, and he gets going and he brings him such joy, and so therefore his joy and hard work is changing everybody else around him. So it's music hard at work with God.
I forgot that I wanted us to sing 121, and if the third verse would be the appropriate one, I think. And Lynette would say, don't let it drag. The part that of verse 3, no beginning too late, no ending too soon.
Hi, Barb Swartley here. The singer-songwriter Farron has a song, and the lyric. Oh dear. One of the lyrics in it, I think the song is Cactus, but one of the lyrics in it is, when I was young, I was in service to my pain. On sunny days, you'd find me walking miles to look for rain. And at some points in my life, that has really described me. And it hits me now that you don't have to walk very far to look for rain. And in these days that we're in, one of the songs that's always spoken to me is Come Ye Disconsolate. I love all three verses, but I wish I could pass this song on to lots of other people, and it has some of the most perfect harmonies, I think. It's just one of those perfect songs, so I'd like to sing it, and I think, it's a short one.
Come ye disconsolate. Joel Zwier. Patricia and our daughter Elisa arrive tomorrow from Honduras, and we're really glad for that. Elisa received a one-year leave of absence from her job at the university there in Honduras, and she comes mourning the loss of her husband, Henry. I won't go into more details, but she also comes emotionally wounded by some circumstances that happened to her in the last months. And the family is asking that the assembly family and her friends here and former small group members come around her.
Hi, my name is Deb Johns, and I remember a particular song from when I was at Camp Amigo and was sung quite frequently. And I don't think it's in our hymnals. I hope some of you might remember this song. It's called, "This World Is Not My Home, I'm Just a Passing Through." Does anybody know that? Oh, dear. Oh, there are a few. Oh, good. Yeah.
I am Bertha Beachy, and I would just like to say that my father loved singing. He would always come in saying, "Can we have a song?" There were 10 children and 7 daughters, and one of the things he did is he saw to it that we had a phonograph, a hand one and a small one, and we would play records and different songs, with one child always watching to see that there would not be any Amish buggies coming. I grew up in an Amish family, and I will never forget when we became aware of the love of God. I'd like to sing just one verse of that. I don't think we have it in our book.
Steve Johns. When I was in my early teens, my parents drug me one Christmas season to this Mennonite mass choir thing in Elmira, Ontario. My aunt was singing in it. And they drug me along kicking and screaming. And there was a choir of 400 people and a big orchestra that was really good and soloists. And it was the Messiah. And I didn't grow up with that kind of music. And it really transformed me. It was profound. Dwight Welty was one of the soloists, and I saw him a number of years ago at Greencroft, and I told him about that. And he nodded and smiled, and he says, "And who are you, and where are you from?" And I said, "Well, I'm Steve Shantz. I grew up in Ontario." He says, "Who's your father?" "Well, Lowell Shantz. You wouldn't know him." "Who's your grandfather?" "Oh, John Shantz. You wouldn't know him, but he lived in Wakarusa area." And he looked at me and says, "Who's your great-grandfather?" And I said, "Ezra Shantz, and he grew up in Wakarusa area." And he says, big smile on his face, "I grew up across the road from your great-grandfather." And his dad and my great-grandfather were best of friends, and actually I think they were cousins. Anyways, yeah, that was really transformative for me, that 13-year-old experience. So if we could sing the last verse of Worthy is the Lamb.
Sean Smuts, God often speaks to me through show tunes. And so it's one of those things that I can vividly recall the first time I heard the score of Man of La Mancha, and I was just transformed. And I ended up writing a whole sermon based on The Impossible Dream because of it. But the one that I continue to come back to all the time is Edelweiss from The Sound of Music. And those of you from Bern will completely understand that because we heard it like every other year when they did The Sound of Music. And now it's become one of my kids' favorite lullabies. And every night we sing it, and it's just, it reminds me of my grandmother, and it reminds me of the beauty of God's earth. And I don't know, there's just something about The Sound of Music, and especially Edelweiss, that just truly helps a lot.
This is Lisa Rose Martin. For a number of you, I can maybe share this. I don't talk about myself a lot because I grew up all Mennonite-y and it feels self-serving and not humble and you know all that. But in the back of the blue hymnal in the pocket, there's a song by Adam Tice, "Will You Hold Me in the Light?" And if you have not been around long enough to know this story, Adam wrote this text. It's the tune is titled "Assembly," because it was written after Heidi Siemens Rhodes' diagnosis went public. I think it was almost 3 weeks after that that my dad was killed. So they found out about that sitting in Hyattsville Church, where they lived at that time, and he called Sally Ann Morris, who wrote the music, and said, "Put a rush on it." So. This was around when we were in pretty dark places, and I appreciated it being there. And so for Leon and Elisa and whoever else is out there, I feel like during that time I learned to appreciate community in a way I never had. And you all taught me how to hold someone who is grieving. And so now I feel I can pass that on better.
there any other final sharing that anyone was hoping to do before? Go
ahead. Trisha Newkin, if you can talk about show tunes, Sean, then I can talk about Christian contemporary music. I did not find very much comfort in hymns after Herman died, and so I found myself listening to Christian radio every waking hour in my house, in my car, and I found myself absorbing scripture I had never learned and finding a new appreciation for all the Christians outside my denomination. And music has been my profession, but it also feels like a daily requirement. So it's also the best way to communicate with my brain-damaged father, who has trouble communicating and processing, but sing a song and he's right there with you. So no special tune to sing.
Thank you, Patricia. Before we close,
I'm cheering for Michael because he's tearing up, and now we'll see if I. So his mother is still at home. 24-hour in-home care has been arranged. That's not without its challenges, but she's where she wants to be. And Michael's especially thinking of her this morning. She's a lifelong musician, helped her engage with her community and people, helped her engage with assembly. In fact, I brought back an assembly songbook and a Sing the Journey that I found with her stuff. but she is now no longer able to play French horn. Her hearing makes it hard even to enjoy the radio like she has for so many years. So continue to hold her and us in your prayers.
Hillary Birchie, I just want to, I'm thankful and praise that Gladys is much, much better than she was 3 weeks ago today. And she's thankful to doctors and hospital technology and whatever, and physical therapy at rehab, and she plans to come home Thursday, so we're really grateful for that.
Praise the Lord. Thank you to each of you for sharing your stories and for the stories that are within each of us that weren't shared as well. There is much hope among us, there is much love, and there is much care for each other. Before we close this morning, I invite anyone who has a short announcement to share about our congregational or broader community life to come forward. And then we will close with Love the Lord Your God.
This evening, all are warmly welcome to our yard at 1601 Amberwood, starting at 8 o'clock for fellowship. And if you'd like to see a close-up view of the fireworks, you're welcome to bring along friends or family. Please bring chairs or blankets to sit on, and optionally a finger food snack to share. And parking will be limited, so I'd encourage carpooling, or if your bike is equipped for night riding, you're welcome to do that as well. Hope to see you tonight.
Our sisters and brothers at Bethel College Mennonite strongly affirm Dawn as their pastor of choice. She has accepted, and leadership group on behalf of the congregation has accepted her resignation. Her last day as our pastor will be September 11th. We are planning a congregational farewell to celebrate Dawn, her gifts, her time with us for September 11th. And so stay tuned for more details. Take a deep breath, totally different topic. This is following up on the assembly line announcement about the building proposal. We are holding a meeting for people who identified themselves as three, because we, leadership group and the building committee, is very interested in understanding what the concerns are. Those who included their names have already received a personal invitation. If you didn't include your name and want to participate, please contact myself or Laura Nafziger or Don Yoder-Harms so we can include you in this meeting. Thank you.
Take another deep breath and change again. I planted kale in my garden this year, and my planting grew well, and so I have extra kale. Some of you indicated interest. I'll have your bags labeled, but there's a few more extra bags. If anybody's interested, I'll have it in the table out back.
If you take another deep breath, you're going to hyperventilate. A number of years ago, we had this every month, we had this green thing that we would do. And about a year or so ago, I signed up with a NIPSCO green power plan, where basically you're paying a little extra money and all your electricity is from renewables. And they arrange all the details. And it costs less than a dollar a month for our electrical consumption. And so if you're not doing it, you should be doing it. But John Nafziger, in his attention to detail, pointed out that at least for the last 5 months that I've looked at, it is now a credit on my bill of between 7 and 16 cents per month. Which is interesting. So if you haven't signed up for this, you really ought to consider it. Past performance is not a guarantee of future performance. But really, a renewable powers now, particularly wind, is cheaper than almost anything else. And I would encourage all of you to sign up. Just go to NIPSCO's webpage at the bottom. There's a big thing about green power. It's really easy to do.
Hi, my name is Tim Nafziger. For the last year and a half, I've been involved with the Carnival Day Resistance. How many of you have heard of the Carnival? I've talked with a few of you here. It's an amazing traveling arts carnival that brings together stories of ecological resistance and imagination and incarnation from the scriptures with music, a lot in the spirit of this morning, drama, movement, some of the interplay pieces. And it's coming to Minneapolis this September, 16 to 18 and 23 to 25, and my friend Katarina Friesen from around here is organizing a carpool. If any of you are interested, check it out online. You can contact me. I'd be happy to put you in touch.
Read as deeply as you like, and we'll sing number 55, Love the Lord Your God with all your heart and soul, with all your mind and strength. Sing the first part, sing the second part, or alternate between them from one stanza to the next, and let's stand to sing this.